You are listening to The Evidence Locker. Our cases have been researched using open source and archive materials. It deals with true crimes and real people. Some parts are graphic in nature, and listener discretion is advised. Each episode is produced with the utmost respect to the victims, their families, and loved ones. If you were to walk the streets of Dessau-Roslau at dusk, you'd experience a somewhat sleepy town. Its cobblestone streets would be empty, and the stores would mostly be closed. You'd see elegant four-story buildings lining the wide streets as you walked along. The Anhalt University of Applied Sciences encourages foreign students to study at their world-renowned institution. In 2016, no less than 800 Chinese students enrolled. Students who reside in Dessau find the city welcoming. It's a cozy spot to spend a year or two while furthering one's studies at the home of Bauhaus architecture. On the morning of May 12, 2016, as students made their way to classes, cutting through Friedenplatz, they unknowingly walked past a tall pine tree that was hiding a dark secret. Hours went by as local residents, shopkeepers, and students went about their business, walking by the spot. The tree was next to an apartment building, covered with scaffolding. By mid-morning, however, the calm of the historic inner-city scene had been shattered. Police officers scurried through the lanes, emergency vehicles parked on sidewalks, and sniffer dogs with handlers foraged through every square inch. The entire town knew who they were looking for, as news of a disappearance spread through the community like wildfire. Chinese student Yang Ji Li went for a twilight run the evening before and never returned to her shared apartment. Besides her flatmates and fellow students, Yang Ji did not know too many people. Yang Ji's flatmates went out looking for her, but to no avail. It was like the streets swallowed her whole. The next day, the worst was confirmed, when her battered, half-naked body was found hidden under a pine tree. As Yang Ji's case unfolded, the shocking truth of her last moments alive were revealed. And the prime suspect was none other than the chief of police's stepson. Yang Ji Li was born on the 9th of September, 1990, in Jiaozuo, Henan, China. She was an only child, and their family of three was a happy one. They loved spending time together. After high school, Yang Ji studied civil engineering at the Henan University of Science and Technology. While she was completing her degree, Yang Ji and her parents saved up so she could one day go to Germany. It was her dream to study Bauhaus architecture at the well-renowned school in Dessau. Every year, Anhalt University professor Rudolf Luckmann and his Chinese wife traveled to China to interview possible candidates for the highly desirable postgraduate degree. Yang Ji immediately made a strong impression on the professor. She was an open and communicative person, a bubbly young woman, who could not resist the temptation to mention her father was a police officer during their interview. She was intelligent and well-qualified, the perfect candidate to enroll at Dessau. In 2015, Yang Ji's opportunity came, and off to Germany she went. It was sad to say goodbye to her parents, but she promised to stay in regular contact. Everyone who knew Yang Ji knew how much she adored her parents. Part of the reason for her studying architecture was so that she could design their dream house. She wanted to use Bauhaus principles to design a home with a strong focus on function, harmoniously balancing geometric shapes and using glass to create space and light. Yang Ji settled into her new life in Germany rather well. Dessau, often called a small, big city, less than a two-hour drive southwest of Berlin. She stayed in a shared apartment in the center of Dessau-Roslau and loved being in the heart of all the action. The town center is charming with its half-timbered buildings, stone lanes, and small shops which sell local produce. The university is the heartbeat of the small city. It offers courses in English and draws students from all over the world. Professor Rudolf Luckmann, who had interviewed Yangji back in China, was her lecturer in Dessau, too. He knew his students well and was sympathetic about the fact that most of them were far away from home. He encouraged Yangji, who excelled in his class, and he was confident that she would get her master's degree at the end of the academic year. In May 2016, she was only months away from graduating. Yangji did not speak a lot of German, but could manage okay in English. For the most part, she preferred to mingle with other Chinese students, a large group within the student community. Yangji was sporty, and no matter how demanding her studies were, she always found time in the day to go for a run. On Wednesday afternoon, the 11th of May, 2016, Yangji went shopping for some household items. It was a mild early spring day, and as soon as she got home, she changed into her running gear, a white-gray shirt with black pants and black sneakers. At 8:30 p.m., Yangji said goodbye to her flatmates, popped her earphones in, and left for her twilight run. She took her usual route through the old town, past the museums and through the city park. But as the night fell, Yangji Li was still not back. She would never return home again. Her flatmates, all foreign students, were worried, but they did not quite know what to do. They called Yangji's cell phone, but she didn't pick up. Some went out to look for her, while others waited at the apartment, hoping she would come back. But she never did, and there was no sign of her anywhere along her regular route. The following morning, the concerned group of friends informed the liaison officer at the university who assisted Chinese students living in Dessau. They told her that Yangji went for a run and never made it back. It was very unusual for her not to spend the night at home. The liaison officer immediately called police to report Yangji missing. Police acted swiftly and deployed hundreds of officers all around the city to search for the missing foreign student. The Chinese community took to social media, and news of Yangji's disappearance spread quickly. Chinese expats in Dessau-Roßlau reached out to the Chinese embassy in Berlin to assist. Dessau was a small city, and the streets were flooded with police officers and search vehicles. Before lunchtime, everyone knew about Yangji's disappearance. At first, police concentrated on the city park and surrounds, as it was a hotspot for criminal activity. A helicopter searched the area along her jogging route using a thermal imaging camera. Foot searches were also conducted using sniffer dogs. The last sign of life was on Wednesday night at 9:40 p.m. when Yangji's cell phone pinged off a tower near her home. The morning after her disappearance, police tried calling her cell phone, and a man answered. But before they could talk, he hung up. 4 minutes later, the phone was switched off. Police held grave concerns for Yangji's safety, and the search continued through the night. Her parents were informed about her disappearance, and Professor Luckmann assured them he would let them know as soon as there was any news. At 11 a.m. on Friday the 13th of May, they found her. Yangji's half-naked body was concealed under a bush at the foot of a large pine tree in Hausmannstrasse near Friedensplatz. Tragically, she was only a stone's throw away from her apartment and less than 300 meters away from a police station. All along, she had been hidden in plain sight. Wounds to Yangji's head and face were so severe that police could not make a positive identification on the spot. Her entire body was covered in blood. Professor Rudolf Luckmann was called to identify her remains. He recalled her mouth, along with her face, was brutally smashed off. Her disfigured body was covered with wounds from a hard struggle for survival. An extensive police search of the area did not yield many clues. Yangji's clothing, her cell phone, or the key to her apartment could not be located. Forensic examiners concluded that she was dumped at the spot where she was found, and that her murder had taken place elsewhere. The clock was ticking, and police had to find the murderer and the crime scene. Because Youngji was found murdered so close to her apartment, other students feared for their own safety. Her keys had not been found, so chances were the monster who killed Youngji could let himself into their apartment. The murderer could be among them, seeing as no one had been arrested. On the 18th of May, 600 Chinese students held a vigil at Seminarplatz. 150 people also took part in a memorial night run from the city park. As per Chinese custom, the mourning period lasts 49 days. That is 7 times 7 days, with weekly prayers. These ceremonies helped to keep Youngji's story in the public eye. It was a reminder to police that Youngji was missed, and a warning to the killer that they would not forget. No one could think why anyone would want to end the life of such a lovely person. Murmurs went around town speculating if the attack on Youngji was a xenophobic one. Although Dessau's police force prides itself on the fact that 89% of the murder cases in their jurisdiction is solved, and that no sexual assault cases are ever left unsolved, they did not have the best reputation when it came to protecting foreigners. In 2005, Uri Jallo, an asylum seeker from Sierra Leone, died under mysterious circumstances in police custody. Uri was convicted of drug trafficking and sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. One night, a fire broke out in his cell, while his hands and feet were tied to his bed frame. When the alarm went off, the guard turned it off without investigating further. Two guards were convicted of manslaughter, but Uri's death highlighted a dark undertone of racism in law enforcement. Youngji Lee's murder case made big waves in Chinese media. A warning was issued by the Chinese embassy in Berlin, warning young students to be careful in Germany, to avoid jogging alone and talking to strangers. The university appointed a psychologist to provide counseling to Youngji's friends and fellow students. Still, some Chinese students withdrew applications and returned home. Back in China, once DNA tests confirmed the body found on Hausmannstrasse was Youngji, her parents were informed. Anhalt University raised funds to cover their travel costs, and they left for Germany as soon as they could, arriving a week after their daughter disappeared. Youngji's father, a police officer, trusted local law enforcement, but offered to help with the investigation. As soon as he arrived, he asked to be taken to the place where his daughter's body was found. The initial theory, formed by German investigators, was that Youngji was kidnapped and taken somewhere outside of the city center. At this unknown location, she was raped and killed before her murderer returned her body. However, this did not make much sense to Youngji's dad. He felt that the murder occurred in close proximity to where Youngji's body was found. To Youngji's father, the neighboring building looked like the most feasible starting point for an investigation. The report of the post-mortem examination concluded that Youngji had suffered a violent and brutal death, and that she fought to the bitter end. Her injuries were so extensive, the pathologist could not determine the exact cause of death. Any of the injuries could have killed her, and they were inflicted more or less at the same time. Youngji was sexually assaulted, had multiple broken ribs, blood in her lungs, and countless bruises all over her body. Skin cells under Youngji's nails showed how she must have tried to fend off her attacker. Thanks to the skin, semen, and other bodily fluids, they were able to obtain a DNA profile. It was processed by the Federal Criminal Police Office, but they could not find a match. On Monday, the 23rd of May, a 20-year-old man sauntered into Dessau Police Station on Wolfgangstrasse. Sebastian Fleck was a familiar face around the precinct, seeing as his mother Ramona was a police officer and his stepdad was the police chief. So when Sebastian said he wanted to make a statement regarding the body found near his house, it was quite a shock. Sebastian said that the foreign DNA on Youngji's body could be his, seeing as he saw her the night before her disappearance. Sebastian claimed his fiancée, Senya Lang, met Youngji and asked if she would be interested in a threesome. According to Sebastian, Yangji agreed, and the three of them had consensual sex. The excerpt from his original statement reads, Senya had the idea for the threesome. She wanted to spice up our relationship. She brought the Chinese woman upstairs. She wanted it a little harder. We had sex for an hour, everything voluntarily. I came 3 or 4 times in that time. According to Sebastian, he had nothing to do with Yangji's death and that she was alive and well when she left their apartment. Police detained Sebastian while they went out looking for his fiancée. Senya was in town making her way home with her 2 small children when police caught up with her. Both Sebastian and Senya denied any involvement in Yangji's murder. Sebastian claimed he only came forward to clarify why his DNA was on a murder victim's body. The couple volunteered DNA swabs and was insistent they had nothing to hide. With 2 possible suspects in custody, forensic investigators descended on their apartment. The location of the apartment was deeply significant. It was located in a building 1 over from Yangji's home. The tree where Yangji's body was found was adjacent to the very same apartment block, the very building Yangji's father theorized where the murder took place. Police searched Sebastian and Senya's apartment at number 9, Johannesstrasse, but did not find much. Construction was being done at the apartment block, and some residents chose to evacuate the building during the renovations. So, on the night of Yangji's disappearance, only a handful of apartments were inhabited. A forensic team went through the entire building, and when they searched an empty apartment on the first level, they hit pay dirt. They had come across a torture chamber. Blood splatter was everywhere, on the floor, and as high as 3 meters up on the wall. The only information that was made public at the time was that they found blood and other items. Forensic crime scene investigators concluded that Yangji died a long, violent, and painful death, with her torture most likely lasting several hours. When DNA found on Yangji's body proved to be Sebastian Flex, police arrested both him and his fiancée Senya Lang. Police believed that the couple had lured Yangji Li to their apartment, where they proceeded to rape her. After the fact, they killed her to conceal their crime. Sebastian and Senya both maintained that they had nothing to do with Yangji's death. On the 24th of May, Chief Prosecutor Volker Bittmann had a press conference announcing that they had 2 suspects in custody. He denied allegations that Sebastian's mother and stepfather were under suspicion and made it clear that Sebastian gave himself up. Bittmann recounted Sebastian's statement about the alleged threesome and that Yangji had consented to everything. This public announcement of the suspect's version of events angered Yangji's family and the Chinese community in Dessau. They felt the story tainted her character and shamed her as a victim. The Li family entered a formal, disciplinary complaint against Bittmann for publicly speaking about unsubstantiated allegations regarding their daughter. However, the Ministry of Justice did not take Bittmann off of the case. Yangji's parents hired a private investigator to conduct an independent investigation into their daughter's murder. When Dessau police searched Yangji's apartment, they neglected to take her diary. Her father handed it over to police, knowing full well how much it could help the investigation along. They knew Yangji was lured into the apartment and never once believed that she had joined Sebastian and Senya for a threesome, as they claimed. Her diary could give investigators an insight into the type of person she was. Chinese newspapers were critical of the German legal system and were skeptical if police were up to the task of solving Yangji's murder. Because the suspect's parents were senior police officers, questions were asked about what Sebastian had said to them. His mother Ramona had been in the force for 24 years, and his stepfather Jorg was police chief in Dessau. Ramona assisted with the initial investigation and questioned residents who lived in the same apartment block as her son. She claimed that the head of the homicide squad informed her that Sebastian would be questioned. She didn't find it strange, seeing as everyone who lived in the direct vicinity had to be seen. Sebastian came forward 10 days after Yangji's body was found. In that time, he called his mother no less than 40 times. making as many as 10 calls on one day. It did not look good for Ramona. Did she help her son to cover up a brutal murder? And what exactly was Jorg's involvement? Because a conflict of interest, the investigation was taken over by Halle police. Around this time, it emerged that Sebastian had 40 other criminal charges against him, including arson, damage to property, and assault. Proceedings in all the cases were pending. Everything pointed to multiple cover-ups orchestrated by his mother Ramona in order to keep him out of prison. Investigators had a closer look at the Fleck family's background. Ramona had Sebastian when she was 19 years old. She was a single mother, and in their bubble, mom and son were inseparable. Ramona married Jorg a couple of years later, and even though he took Sebastian in as his own child, he was always an outsider to their relationship. Whenever Sebastian was in trouble, his mom would come to his defense. In his early years at school, there was an incident where Sebastian groped a female teacher. When Ramona was informed about her son's inappropriate behavior, she refused to believe it and turned the situation around, blaming the teacher for touching her son. As a teenager, Sebastian molested a 13-year-old family member and was sent to Merseburg Clinic for Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. However, his mother took him out, claiming he was homesick and that she wouldn't allow him to receive treatment any longer. As a police officer, Ramona should probably have been more attuned to the red flag showing up in her son's psychiatric report. It stated that Sebastian showed few signs of conscience and no signs of empathy for others, yet he always felt himself treated unfairly. At the time of the murder, Sebastian and Senya had been together for 3 years. He was unemployed and received financial support from services. He was a clean-cut young man with a muscular build who was 1.85 meters tall, towering above his small-statured fiancée. A week after Yangji's body was found, Ramona and Jorg reportedly helped Sebastian and Senya move out of the apartment. They denied going into the apartment, but a fellow police officer saw both of them there, carrying bags on that Saturday. Ramona insisted that she was never inside the apartment because she had injured her knee and could not walk up the stairs. She said she only spoke to Senya on the Sunday evening when she called from Sebastian's phone to tell her the move was done. Jorg admitted that he was outside the apartment on that Saturday. He claimed he drove a load of household items over to the couple's new place and that he never went inside. That was all. On the 6th of June, the day after Yangji Lee's funeral service, Ramona and Jorg were both on supposed sick leave. They used their time off work to host a party to celebrate the opening of their beer garden and restaurant called Freundschaft, that is, friendship. While Yangji's family and friends mourned her death, Ramona handed out champagne flutes, and Jorg worked behind the bar. Both officers were issued with a forced leave of absence. On the 8th of June, public prosecutor Klaus Tevis stated that there was an ongoing investigation into Ramona and Jorg to establish their involvement in the murder case. Jorg had been police chief for 4 years at this point and stated that the restaurant's opening had been years in the making. But his superiors felt they could have postponed it out of respect for the murder case their son was involved in. Jorg was transferred to Aschersleben, but when a court later dismissed the case against him, he was reinstated as police chief in Dessau. The attorney general in Naumburg also concluded that neither Ramona nor Jorg had any influence on the investigation into their son, nor did they help him cover up the crime. Investigators from Halle knew that all eyes were on them to bring the case to court. They could not afford any mistakes. German authorities had a point to prove, and Chinese media would not tolerate any oversights. Fortunately for them, the public also took great interest in the case. A shop owner who had been away on vacation handed police their strongest piece of evidence. The antique store on the ground level of Sebastian's and Senya's apartment block had CCTV footage, showing Yangji's encounter with her killers. The black and white video, taken on the evening of Yangji's disappearance, shows Senya hovering at the entrance to the apartment building. Then, Yangji jogs into the frame and Senya puckers up. She calls Yangji over and appears to be distressed. The logical conclusion from her hand signs and body language was that she asked Yangji to help with something in her apartment upstairs. Yangji appears to be a bit apprehensive. She looks over her shoulder, like she's hoping someone else is there. But no one was around, and Yangji followed Senya inside, not knowing that she was a lamb to the slaughter. Up to this point, police believed that Sebastian was the main perpetrator. But seeing the footage of Senya proved that she was the one who had lured Yangji inside. Unlike her fiancé, Senya was timid and shy, almost childlike in appearance and manner. Senya had had 3 children, of which one died due to sudden infant death syndrome. Of Senya's 2 surviving children, one was from a previous relationship, and the other one was Sebastian's. Reportedly, the evening before their arrest, Senya called Ramona and told her that they had a threesome with a Chinese girl. She was concerned that the girl they met for sex was the one found near their home. Senya even went so far as to say they all looked the same. Ramona then called Sebastian and told him to go to police the following day. However, before Sebastian showed up at the station, neither Ramona nor Jorg informed their colleagues about the situation. While on remand, Sebastian didn't exactly make any friends. He constantly complained about everything to prison officials. The prison uniform wasn't good. They didn't allow enough time or variety in terms of exercise. The prison doctor complained about vulgar insults from Sebastian. It was evident that he had no respect for authority and made it very clear that he did not think he belonged in prison. Forensic psychiatrist Bernd Langer noted that there were only 2 things in Sebastian's life that kept him going: sex and power. Weeks before Yangji's murder, he searched porn websites using the keywords rape, Asian women, and brutality. Dr. Langer said, "One would expect some level of anxiety about the crime, or some degree of empathy, but this was not displayed at all." The psychiatrist goes on to explain why Sebastian felt he was treated unfairly. Sebastian said there was a xenophobic component to the case, and that he was persecuted because Yangji Li was Chinese. In this regard, Sebastian was perhaps not wrong, but his internet searches proved that he was specifically looking for an Asian woman. If there was a racial element to the case, it was because of his actions, no one else's. And whether his victim was European or Asian did not change the fact that he committed a heinous crime. A woman came forward and alleged that Sebastian sexually assaulted her twice in 2013. He intimidated her to such a degree that she was too scared to come forward. She remained silent for 3 years until she saw he had been arrested. The trial began on November 25, 2016, and ran till February 2017. Sebastian and Senya pleaded not guilty. Neither admitted to anything, nor did they reveal anything. Eventually, 2 months into the trial, a sobbing Senya broke her silence and let the world into her darkest secret, the details about the night of Yangji Li's murder and the events that led up to it. Senya Lang had a troubled past. As a 12-year-old girl, she was sexually abused by her stepfather. At 16, she fell pregnant to her high school boyfriend, but he left her soon after the baby was born. When Senya met Sebastian, she was familiar with the dynamic between an abuser and his victim, and she entered a life of subservience, like a moth to a flame. Senya told the court that Sebastian derived pleasure from hurting his sexual partners. He even drew up a contract to regulate their sex life. It was all about control. If Senya refused sex, there was a catalog of punishments he would choose from. He even made a home video of himself abusing her. He can be heard saying, "Do as I want." His obsession with sex was one he shared with Senya. Outside of that, his closest relationship was with his mother. They constantly spoke to each other on the phone. His stepfather testified that Ramona was the only person who could keep Sebastian in line. A prison psychiatrist explained that Senya was committed to pleasing Sebastian, so much so that his wish was not only her command, but it also became what she wanted too. But sometimes things went too far. On one occasion, Senya sent Ramona a text message that read, "Please help me. Come over immediately, but don't tell Basti I texted you. He wants to kill me. Ramona only responded to the message the next day. Instead of checking in on Senya's well-being, she wanted to know what Senya did to make Sebastian threaten her. The implication was that Senya had pushed Sebastian's buttons and had to face the consequences. The court waited in anticipation as Senya began her recollection of the day of Yangji's murder. According to Senya, Sebastian had threatened to leave her if she didn't bring him a woman. When she called his bluff and refused, Sebastian exploded and said he was going to harm the children. And that is when Senya took to the street, desperate to find someone, anyone. And the kind-hearted Yangji just happened into her sight at that very moment, jogging into the eye of the storm. Senya asked for Yangji's help to carry a box upstairs. As soon as they went inside the building, Sebastian appeared from his hiding spot and overpowered Yangji, who never saw him coming. She was heading up the stairs, and he tackled her from behind. He forced her into the empty apartment. That became the torture chamber for the following hours. Sebastian and Senya tried to tie Yangji up, but she resisted and almost got away. Then Senya heard her children screaming upstairs, so she left Yangji and Sebastian alone. When she had calmed her children down, Sebastian called her to come back. A petrified Yangji was on the floor, and Sebastian told Senya to use Google Translate to communicate with their victim. First, he wanted to know if she had any sexually transmitted diseases. Then he asked if anyone would notice if she went missing. Yangji answered by shaking her head for no and nodding slowly for yes. Sebastian was satisfied with the information and said he wanted to smoke one more cigarette before they began. In the meanwhile, he ordered Senya to have sex with Yangji. Senya complied and forced herself onto Yangji, who was struggling and fighting to get away. When Senya was finished, she was made to watch her fiancé rape Yangji. Senya then returned to their apartment to put the children to bed. According to Senya, Yangji was still alive when she left. She had the opportunity to call for help at this point, but she chose not to. Once the children were asleep, she returned to the diabolical scene created by her fiancé. He told her that he had killed Yangji. Senya was mortified and wanted to know why he killed her. And ice-cold Sebastian answered, "Because I could." Forensic evidence showed that Sebastian brutally raped Yangji multiple times and then bashed her head on the wooden floor. Then, with his victim still alive, he proceeded to strangle her and plunged her head into a bucket of water, hoping to drown her. Yangji had so many defensive wounds, it was evident that she fought with every last bit of strength she had to stay alive. She did everything she could, but in the end, her attacker got the better of her. After midnight, Sebastian and Senya carried Yangji's body to an abandoned part of the apartment building, out back. They dragged her body out of the window on the first floor, onto a scaffolding from where they threw her down. Yangji fell under the pine tree, where she was eventually found. On the CCTV footage supplied by the antique store owner, Sebastian can be seen exiting the building in the early hours of May 12th and walking in the direction of the tree. Moments later, he went back inside. From the footage, it is obvious that he went to check on his victim's body and probably moved her slightly to make sure that she was hidden. He didn't appear stressed or panicked in the least. The prosecutor laid out the motive. Sebastian pressured Senya to present him with something new, to provide sexual satisfaction. It was a diabolical sex pact, directed by Sebastian Fleck. Yangji was killed so that Sebastian and Senya could live out their sexual fantasies. During the trial, Sebastian only spoke once, and that was when a police officer took the witness stand. Sebastian exploded, saying, "Shut up!" For the rest of the trial, he didn't say a word. He maintained his innocence in killing Yangji, but the evidence contradicted him. Yangji's blood was on Sebastian's shoes, and Senya was the last person seen with Yangji, luring her into their apartment. The trial continued throughout 2017. In May, a year after the murder, the Anhalt University held a memorial ceremony on the Dessau campus. In Yangji's memory, they planted a white rosebush on campus. An altar with a photo of Yangji was adorned with an offer of fruit and money. Fruit, so she won't go hungry in the afterlife. Money, so she would be taken care of. They also burnt a letter from her parents, hoping that the words would reach Yangji in the afterlife. In the letter, her parents appealed to law enforcement to let justice prevail. In August, the trial was finally reaching an end. In Germany, a person can be tried under juvenile criminal law till the age of 21. This was granted to Senya, who was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison for sexual assault. Murder charges against Senya were dropped. However, due to the nature of the crime he committed, Sebastian was tried as an adult and sentenced to life in prison for the murder and rape of Yangji Li. He remained emotionless and had no reaction when his verdict was read. Sebastian and Senya had to pay 60,000 euro in damages. Psychologists testified that this was a case of folie à deux, the madness of two. This form of psychosis is a telepathic condition where two people share the same delusional beliefs. Individuals with this condition are socially isolated and do not have a lot of interaction with anyone other than themselves. Sebastian's and Senya's forbidden fantasies were brought into reality together, and together, they acted it out. Judge Uta Schmidt called Yangji's murder an incomprehensible crime and compared her killers to notorious British Moors murderers Myra Henley and Ian Brady. Sebastian appealed his verdict, but it was rejected by the Federal Court of Justice in 2018. Although a life sentence in Germany could be as little as 15 years, Sebastian Fleck won't see the outside of prison anytime soon. The judge ruled no possibility of parole due to the aggravating circumstances of the murder. Court-appointed psychiatrist Dr. Langer agrees with this verdict. He is not optimistic about the possibility of reform in Sebastian's case. In an interview with Süddeutsche Zeitung, the psychiatrist recalled a conversation with the convicted killer. He claimed he asked Sebastian if he would be open to change, to which the young man replied, "I am who I am. I don't want to change. You can get along with me as I am, or don't bother trying." Ramona and York's Beer Garden shut its doors after 18 months at the end of 2017. Reviews were unforgiving. People stated that the place smelt like blood and that they felt Miss Lee's eyes on them. But their son is still alive. Yangji Li's parents left Germany with their daughter's ashes in an urn. All her hopes and dreams, her future taken from them. To satisfy the bestial urges of a deluded man and his sycophant sidekick. If you'd like to read more about this case, have a look at the resources used for this episode in the show notes. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/evidencelockerpodcast to see more about today's case. If you like our podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening right now. This was The Evidence Locker. Thank you for listening.